Music Settle
with James Humberstone.
Welcome to Music Settle, a podcast in which we consider how we might reform music education for the current generation of students. A big part of that, of course, is considering whether and how we should use music technology in our classes. I thought perhaps this week you might be interested to know how you can get your hands on literally dozens of free music education and technology resources. But I wanted to begin this week by thanking you all so much for listening and for your kind comments and reviews. Now, don't forget, there's a corresponding page for each podcast at humberstone.org. I link through from the description. And you can leave me comments there, or we can kick off some healthy discussion. And if you've got friends or colleagues who you think would get something out of this podcast, or perhaps you're part of a music education community who would enjoy engaging, please let them know about it. As I mentioned in the first episode, I'm lecturing three subjects at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music this semester, and I'm planning on making each episode a reflection on one of those lectures every week. I've more or less managed to keep to that so far. As well as key approaches in music education, which I talked about in episode 2, and composition in music education, which I talked about in my Orff for Big Kids episode, this week I did the You Are the Film Crew workshop for one of my favourite subjects at the Sydney Con, technology in music education. So in the first 4 weeks of Tech in Music Education, I establish a level playing field of core technology skills for music education. Of course, many of my students have some or all of these skills, but the learning is still hopefully valuable to them because they're learning the educational context. So in those first 4 weeks, we consider, and this isn't exactly in the order we do it, but the following things. The common design of the sequencer or digital audio workstation, usually simply referred to as a DAW, such as GarageBand, Soundtrap, Cubase, Logic, Pro Tools, and so on. Building music from loops and making your own loops as an educator to better integrate with your curriculum repertoire, as well as to save you from going mad from loop repetition. We learn the difference between MIDI and audio and the educational implications of those things. We learn simple MIDI and audio editing techniques, multi-tracking, live sound recording and basic microphone choices, how to connect audio and MIDI devices to computers and handheld devices in a fast-changing field, step sequencing and using hardware drum machines, framing a shot for photography or for filming, and then multi-angle filming and editing, notation software in music education with a focus on intercompatibility through Music XML, graphics creation and the use of Copyright Commons graphics for educational resources. That was a especially exciting lecture this year because I had a couple of our copyright experts from the university library join us for that one, so it's really special. And last, building media-rich education resources with all of those resources that we've covered in those first classes, and finally programming interactivity into such resources. So yeah, that's quite a lot for 4 weeks, isn't it really? But as I say, the technology is at the sort of lowest baseline level, and then with educational application really being the thing that ties it together and makes it special even for those students who are good with tech. So at the end of all that, we need a subject to practice building digital resources around, of course. That's what it's all been aimed at. And this year we worked with pianist Lolita Emanuel, who we filmed and recorded performing my second piano fantasia. Deliberately chosen, no copyright problems there. The students had to divide up their sort of film studio roles, as well as envisaging what they wanted to capture. So not just a performance, but of course Q&A with the performer and maybe even the composer about the piece and related repertoire to the piece itself. So all good stuff for music education resources about that piece of repertoire. When I joined the Sydney Con in 2013, I did a complete rewrite of this tech in music education subject with the aim of not just introducing the many technologies that are used in music education in a hands-on, experiential manner, but also looking at the pedagogical approaches that have supported or evolved from technology-rich learning, you know, like flipped learning, blended learning, informal learning, or plain old autodidacticism, as I refer to it, since a teacher is more often than not completely bypassed. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check out David Price's amazing book, Open, for a gazillion examples. I don't take an evangelist approach to technology either. We look at the dark side of social media, the benefits of working with traditional analog technology, and the mixed and often contradictory research around all screen-based media. This is a subject that we cover in detail in my free online course, my MOOC, The Place of Music in 21st Century Education 2. In fact, in that course, if you're interested, we visit schools that use technology for everything in music classes, but also a school that doesn't use any technology at all, and we consider the pros and the cons of both. But if you don't have time for that 5-week course, but you're interested in more of this kind of stuff, you can still make a similar comparison in just 40 minutes by comparing two of my favourite TED Talks, one by Saugata Mitra and one by Dimitri Christakis, which I'll link to in the notes for this podcast. I love these talks because, well, they're so entertaining. They're backed up by empirical research and have almost opposite findings. In one, technology empowers learning, and in the other, technology is a blocker to learning. And they leave us with great big space in which to think and realize that subjects around human beings, technology and learning are, well, frankly, messy and difficult. And that's thinking that's worth doing. 6.5 years on, I'm very proud of this course and the practical results for my students, which is a real-world outcome of their assessment in the subject. The assessment in this course happens in two parts. First, they must begin a public blog about their learning in the course and engage in professional learning networks such as those on Twitter. They're establishing a professional online identity, often for the first time, which is of course very different to the online identity the average 20-year-old has. The second part of the assessment is the negotiated project. Simply put, each student can extend any learning from the course in any way they like, after checking it off with me. Some of them haven't used a certain technology before, such as a DAW or a MIDI controller or DJ decks, and they're keen to learn that technology with a practical outcome, such as a songwriting project. Others might be interested in a pedagogical approach that we've considered, or a current movement. For example, we have a week where we look at the maker movement and think about what it might mean for music education. And last year, a group built their own electronic instrument powered by an Arduino, which they programmed themselves. They write up these projects on their public blogs too, so you can follow their progress online and learn from their process if you're interested in trying some of the projects yourself. And all of this leads to a public presentation of learning at the Sydney Conservatorium Cafe every November. This year, it's on Friday the 29th of November at 6 p.m. It's also live streamed on the Sydney Con's Facebook page. It's free. There are also drinks and refreshments. You should come. If students have a project best communicated in a performance or a presentation, then they give it from the stage. Other students set up displays of their projects so that people attending can have a go or enter into a discussion about what they've found or made. Dozens of teachers attend, and we've had leading members of the technology industry come along too. In its second year, I was amazed when one of our students who'd produced a unit of work for Year 8 students, which taught them how to create their own loops and then perform a piece made up from those loops on Launchpad, was asked by a visiting head of music from a Sydney school to come and teach that unit with every Year 8 class in her school the following term, a paid employment for a third-year undergraduate pre-service teacher. I sought to extend this kind of real-life outcome by collaborating with a company from South Australia called Music EdNet. Run by good friends of mine from the decade I spent at Sibelius, EdNet run a conference series called Daytime, which stands for A Day of Technology in Music Education. These run in most of the state capitals in Australia every year, and they've run in New Zealand as well. They're wonderful conferences, often with international speakers giving keynotes and a wide range of hands-on workshops aimed at primary, middle school, and high school teachers. So after I had keynoted in just about every city myself over a number of years, I suggested to EdNet and the organisers that they could draw presenters from the wonderful projects that my students were doing instead of having me come and speak again and again. This would ensure that the conference series always had an injection of new ideas, and also it would be an amazing opportunity for my students to actually be leading professional learning while they're still undergraduate students themselves. Now, we had to make it clear to the students that the project chosen wouldn't necessarily be chosen because it was, in anyone's judgment, the best, but because it was judged to be the most potentially interesting or relevant to current teachers, the most relevant for professional learning. So in 2017, the project chosen was called Chasm. A team of three students first developed their own resources for teaching Korean music by sampling tradition Korean instruments for more authentic performance, composition, and production experiences. But in addition to that, they then published the process so that teachers could replicate it for any musical culture and any musical instruments. They also showed the process using free open source software, as well as the leading commercial equivalents. Brilliant. You can see their YouTube channel if you go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/KASM YouTube. That's bit.ly/KASM YouTube. They were invited to present their project at the Daytime 2018 conference in Sydney, and Music EdNet also presented them with some prizes. Very nice. And last year, our collaboration went one step further, spurred on by a wide range of impressive projects. This time, two were chosen for the Daytime conference. A project by Remington Owen on Roly Blocks, MIDI devices, and the free iOS app Noise, and one by Connor Milanos on beatboxing as a subject for school music education, presented as a documentary. You can actually check out the trailer for Connor's documentary at another bit.ly address, so that's bit.ly/BBEducation. That's bit.ly/BBEducation. Here's a taster.
And together we're going to dive into the underground world of beatboxing and ask the question, how do we get beatboxing into the classroom?
Since we already have music class, we have dancing class, we have art class in a school for kids, so why not beatboxing?
Music is music, no matter what way you look at it. I feel like you can learn a lot of musical ideas and a lot of musical theory from beatboxing. You kind of learn the structure of a song, you kind of learn how to harmonize, so it kind of goes along with that. it's like opening another door, and I feel like opening another door is just more exciting, and why would you not want to learn more about this?
And in addition to speaking about Roly products all over the country, Remington is now working professionally with the company at the same time that he completes his final year of his Bachelor of Music Education here at the Sydney Con. Right. There's some real life learning experience outcomes, hey? Obviously, it's too early to know what shape the projects might take this year. But all of the students have already started their websites, and so there's a bit of a back channel on Twitter with the hashtag of SCMTME, stands for Sydney Conservatorium of Music, Technology in Music Education. If you go to bit.ly/SCMTME 2019, that's SCMTME 2019, you'll see a recent blog that I wrote sharing those websites. But even more importantly, at the bottom of that post is a link to past year's projects. And if you follow those links, you'll find 20 or 30 student projects every year going back quite a few years, with dozens of the resources that they made and accounts of the learning that they did. See, I promised you that you could get your hands on some amazing learning resources this week, and indeed you can. It's almost all still there, ready to download. And the last website to share with you today, sorry about reading out all of these addresses, but they are in the podcast description as well. It is no less important at all. In fact, I'd say if you're a music educator in Australia, or maybe even Southeast Asia, and you've never been to a daytime conference, you need to go in 2020. I must say that I have absolutely no commercial affiliation with Music EdNet. I'm literally just supporting this conference, which I know is not a massive profit-making endeavour for them, and extremely useful for music education here in Australia. The dates have already been released, and you can go to them at musicednet.com/daytime. That's musicednet, musicednet.com/daytime. So, thanks so much for listening to Music Zettel again this week. I'm going to be lecturing in technology music education for another 8 weeks leading up to that presentation of learning at the end of November that you're all invited to, whether in person or virtually. I'd love it if you'd add compliments or critique in the comments for the blog post associated with this episode, which of course is linked to in its description, or leave me a rating or a comment, a review on iTunes or similar, and share us with your friends. I need to know by the end of semester whether it's worth keeping this going. Okay, thanks again. Bye.
Music Zettel was written, presented, and produced by James Humberstone.
Music in this episode was composed by James Humberstone.